Welcome to the Wild Type Podcast. I'm Lissa Slizzards.
I'm Neptune the Chameleon.
And we're your reptile girlies. Well, how have you been today?
What's new with you?
I mean, literally, I saw you less than 24 hours ago, so not a lot.
Has anything happened since I saw you yesterday?
I did go to a bridal shower today, which is why I'm a smidge overdressed.
Your cute outfit.
I'm a little overdressed today.
In the best way possible, though.
We try to go very, like, comfy casual
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I'm wearing a Wicked.
We love the Wicked, though. That was actually the first Broadway play I ever saw in New York City.
That was mine, too. Like, on Broadway.
No, same. Yeah.
No, that's where I got the shirt. Was from...
Oh, my God. That's so cute.
I went with my mom, and I got a little green slushy.
Uh-huh.
And then this t-shirt.
Yeah. I loved Alphabet.
It's one of my favorite shirts. And the graphic has held up really well for the years.
That's impressive, because I went when I was 16, so it was, like, 15 years ago.
I would have been... 17 maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
16,
so
17.
Close.
Yeah. Because
totally
it was like,
close.
I think spring break of like my senior year of high school or something like that.
I think that would have been like 4 years after me, but same age range.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But I did go to a bridal shower today. So I'm a little smidge overdressed, but it's for a wonderful bridal shower.
We love her.
We love her. And I just wanted to give her a little special shout out, not only for having the cutest bridal shower ever.
I already saw the Instagram stories and I'm in love.
And bridal showers can be very hit or miss. Like, sometimes they're a little interesting. Sometimes they're in like a strange location. This was at a lake. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was so sunny today. It was warm, but not too warm.
It was
a little
amazing.
Breezy.
And
yeah.
Her family put on, and she listens to our podcast through and through.
Hi.
So I wanted to give her a little shout out because we love her. And she's not a reptile person either.
No,
so.
Which I think is like the most flattering.
No, I know. Truly.
Thing. If you have someone who's not even to reptiles
yeah.
and is like thinking that what we're saying is cool and interesting.
Interesting.
I'm like,
I know.
Enough to listen to 20 episodes.
And she actually, you'll appreciate this. She specifically mentioned today that she didn't know that chameleons don't change colors. For camouflage.
I know, it's such a misconception.
And so you taught her something.
Happy to do it. I'm sure she's not the only one. I'm sure there's someone else listening that was like, what?
Yo, for
I
sure.
I had no idea.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's no, my only like trivia question I can get right. Yeah. But
but that's the only thing that I've done since I saw you last.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so to get right into the topic today, this one, it feels like it could be obvious to some people, but it's not obvious unless you're like, in the hobby, really.
Yeah, and you have to like think about it
yes.
for a second, because I feel like even if you're in the hobby,
right.
it's not something.
Well, like to prep for this episode, I actually had to like sit down and kind of think like, okay, there are several different ways this can go. So we're going to be talking about the differences between male and female reptiles.
Yes, which
there
we
are
have
a lot.
Alluded to previously.
Yeah.
And I think we wrote down like, oh, we should do an episode about that.
So, for sure. Yeah.
We're doing it.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of, and there's a lot of different ways we can go.
Yes.
Where do you want to start?
Color.
That's
I think that's like
the go-to. Yeah.
A fun one. So males and females will have, and this is not for all species, right?
Pretty much, let's mild disclaimer. Anything that we say in this episode specifically is species specific.
Yeah.
So like we're not gonna be getting hyper specific.
I don't wanna see a comment that's like, well, actually, did you know? No. If you want to teach us something,
yeah.
like we are so
Please
happy
do.
To learn.
Yeah.
Like so happy to learn. But we're making
general statement. So if we say something that's not true for like an obscure species out there,
just let us know but in
yeah.
like a nice way.
Please,
that's all we ask.
Yeah.
No, so color, and I can speak for what I think is a very mm-hmm. obvious example.
The most obvious.
Panther chameleons.
Yes.
Which we talk about with Barney's story mm-hmm. time mm-hmm. of how the vet thought that he was a girl because of
yeah.
his size, and you're like,
hello,
he's blue.
Take,
like why
take one look at my little dude.
And okay, isn't there a technical scientific name? Do you know it by chance?
Oh God, I should have looked this up before.
There totally is one, but
there
it's like
is.
When the males are more colorful than the females, like with peacocks.
I'm totally going to get this wrong. So please correct me
this
in the comments.
You're allowed to say something.
please correct me on this one, because I know I'm not going to get it right, but I think it's sexual. It's not dimorphism, because that's something else, but it's
dimorphism.
Maybe dimorphism.
That sounds right.
I think that It's something along those lines. It's like sexual dia something.
Mm-hmm. I think dimorphism.
I think that's right.
But basically it means that the males are more colorful than the females. Like peacocks.
I was just about to say peacocks.
Yeah, that's a very obvious.
That's the number one.
Very obvious example.
Well, and I feel like that's one that most people know too.
Ducks, right? Mm, like just like mallard ducks, right? There's like the little brown one. And then there's like the cool colorful one. So same with panther commands. Mm-hmm. The males will have more color than the females. Now, the females, I think, can be stunning. They'll be like these peaches, these purples, like oranges.
But in their little muted pastel way.
Exactly, exactly. So it makes the males more desirable in the pet trade because they have the crazy colors versus the females. Yeah. So that's one big example, obviously, between
males and females. It's also the same with like Jackson's chameleons. They have the horns.
Females can have horns, though.
Really?
Ho, ho, ho. Learn something new.
I didn't know that. I thought it was only males.
No, there's multiple species of Jacksons. And some species of Jacksons, the females have horns. So people think exactly what you think. Seahorns think they have a male. Then she gives life birth. Because another fun fact, Jacksons will give live birth, which a lot of people like,
get shocked by that. Yeah.
So now imagine you see horns, you think male, and then boom, there's babies. It's the most like...
Wow. I learned something new today. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. I thought I was smart knowing that.
You're welcome. But if we want to talk about horns, Christopher Parsons, the males will have a little, not like a horn, but you know, what is it like?
Bumpies.
Nibs. Yeah. Whereas the females won't have those. But.
Well, and it's also, I actually have a couple in my notes. Let me triple check. But so I had specifically for color, I had obviously, you know, panther chameleons, iguanas are also this way. So the males have like the big crazy spikes and like the, you know, I forget what it's called, the gular like stuff. And caiman lizards have the bright red heads for the males and the females aren't nearly as bright.
We just saw those lizards yesterday where they had kind of like the spine kind of like little
basilisks.
Yes. So those were very obvious male-female, the colors were different.
So just on that note and talking about the horns and everything, it's not always just the color. It's like, it's that sexual dimorphism, if that's the right word. Somebody please, I'm going to be saying that wrong this whole episode. This is so sad if we're wrong. But it's that difference.
Yes. Visual difference with the intention, at least my understanding that they're trying to attract the females, right?
Totally.
Yep.
Totally. And like the electric blue day geckos, the males are the really bright ones. So just a few examples of how it like varies.
Yes. Which is interesting in the reptile hobby because typically those bright colorful ones or that have the additional body features, for lack of a better word, are usually more desirable and more expensive than the females for that reason 100% alone.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And then there are some species, like, for example, blue-tongued skinks are not different at all. Like, and, you know, some breeders will tell you, like, you can tell by, like, the head size. Like, a lot of people will say that the male blue-tongued skinks have, like, thicker, bulkier heads. And sometimes that's true, but sometimes it's not.
But like for instances, geckos are similar colors, but one will have junk in the trunk and the other one won't. Whereas skinks, they don't have
it's all tucked inside
a junk in the trunk. So that can make it difficult to sex them. And I remember you telling me, you're like, I'm not sure if Nilla's a girl or not.
I'm at this point in Nilla's lifetime, I am 98% sure that she's female because at this point I have had her for going on 6 years. And I have yet to find a single sperm plug.
I was going to say, I wasn't sure, but you would find...
If she was a male, I like to think that I would have found a sperm plug by now. And so I'm pretty positive she's a girl.
We're going to go for it.
We're going to go for a girl, but...
Until 5 years from now, you have a gender reveal party for Nilla, and it's like, just kidding.
Yeah. Well, so the next one, so we covered color.
Yes.
So the next one I'm going to say is size. And this kind of goes along with like the color and like body feature and stuff. So specifically what I think about when it comes to this is like 9 times out of 10 with most snake species, the females are far bigger than the males.
Massive.
Far bigger.
Yeah.
Like I personally am in the camp as somebody who owns a yellow anaconda. I am in the camp of belief that most people should not own female green anacondas because they get so insanely
big.
That's
an extra, extra, extra big snake.
Yes.
An anaconda, that's female, that's green.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
That's a big snake.
And most people are, you know, keeping them in like an 8 foot, 8 or 10 right. foot enclosure. It's just,
yeah.
No. And it's just like, I'm sorry. To anybody out there who keeps green anacondas, do your thing. That's fine. I personally would never keep a 15 plus foot snake in an 8 to 10 foot enclosure. So that's just me. But
this is true also for like ball pythons, right? Yes. Even the smaller species that are more commonly kept, the females will be bigger than the males. I think... someone I knew had a ball python. They like took them in. I think they were told they were female. And I saw them and I was like, that's a little snake.
That's not a girl. That's not a girl.
And he was like 10 plus years old. So like by far full grown. I was like, congratulations. Yeah. It's a boy.
It's a boy. 10 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but snakes in particular. So for people who are new to the reptile keeping hobby, when it comes to male versus female, when you're like looking for an animal, depending on the species, you want to be really aware of the differences in size. Because like, for example, people who, you know, if you just Google yellow anaconda size, it's going to say 12 to 15 feet on Google. That's the first thing that shows. That is not true. Males typically stay under 10 feet, between 7 to 10. So like when you're looking into it, you want to talk to breeders and all those kind of things about the differences between the males and females in that way.
Are the females usually more expensive than the males because they get bigger? Do you notice a difference?
It varies. I could be wrong, but I feel like with snakes, it has more to do with like the morphs and the lineage and the genetics versus...
Yeah, obviously that's going to factor into price. I just wasn't sure if a male or a female...
Maybe a little. Honestly, I haven't noticed a huge enough difference.
Yeah, not enough for you to be like, that one's more expensive because it's a girl. Yeah.
I will say, actually, like if you look on Morph Market and stuff, and I'm just thinking in anacondas because that's my brain, but like the female green anacondas will be significantly bigger or more expensive, but that's because they're so much bigger.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I wonder if it factored into the price and desirability and, you know, whatever else. I think
it does. But again, it's not usually enough for me to notice.
And they're also the ones that lay the eggs, right? True. So like from a reproduction, potential breeding standpoint, the females are more desirable because they're the ones who lay the clutches.
And that kind of takes us right into our next category. Little eggies. Right? So it's super important, again, for anybody getting into reptiles to understand. I would say this is typically more with lizards than with snakes.
Oh, wait. But we should talk about sizes for lizards.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We were only talking about snakes.
Because male lizards are usually bigger.
Significantly bigger.
Than the females. Yeah, sorry. So I just wanted to make sure we round out so people don't think that.
We're only talking about
all
snakes
the
here.
Girl reptiles are bigger than the boy reptiles.
Sorry, guys. Got ahead of myself here.
But then we'll go to the eggs. Don't worry. We're coming back.
But specifically, lizards are often, you know, again, not with like blue-tongued skinks, but with chameleons, they're far, far bigger. Males are. And iguanas are far bigger. So it definitely has to do with lizards, too. I'm trying to think of other specifics that are big differences in size. But
I don't know about turtles or tortoises, if there's big size differences between the males or females.
I don't either.
Neither of us have kept turtles or tortoises, so it's very much outside our
So let us know knowledge. If you're a turtle or tortoise person. Keep us posted.
Yeah, but lizards for sure. And then I think frogs again, are just similar sizing.
Interesting note. With snakes, it's usually females who are bigger. And with lizards, it's usually males who are bigger. So,
which can be a pro or con depending on like the enclosure size or how big of an animal you want to work with.
With Tarzan, I was very specific. I had zero interest in having any female anaconda, period, just from size alone. I was like, I want to have the miniest anaconda that you can have.
little one.
Just a miniature one that's also, you know, still going to get 8 or 9
still
feet.
Still a giant snake.
Still a giant snake.
No getting around that. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to make sure we touched on.
No, thank you for that. I jumped
ahead
of myself.
Because that's the opposite of the snake thing. Okay. Yes. So back to the egg thing. Mm-hmm. So females will... lay eggs, which the reason why we wanted to bring this up, because this goes into husbandry and care of owning a female reptile. Now, it's not going to make a big difference in purchasing them or any of that stuff, but it's something you have to be aware of, that they will lay infertile clutches, which I always like to use the analogy of chickens.
Totally.
Where just like chickens, without ever being with the male, they will still produce and lay eggs, which means you as a keeper have to make sure you're providing proper care for one, so that they're able to lay their eggs, be able to know what signs to look for when they're laying their eggs, and then how to prepare so that they can safely
Totally.
Lay them.
And again, just to clarify, that was like a very big generalization.
Yeah, I tried to speak in like
I know
big terms.
Yeah, because with snakes don't often lay infertile eggs. They can. Oh, some yeah. Can.
Okay, I was definitely thinking lizards. Yeah. I was thinking geckos, chameleons.
Totally.
All that.
And that is typically the case. Like the most common ones are chameleons, bearded dragons, leopard geckos, African fat tail geckos, they always will frequently lay infertile eggs.
Gargoyle geckos.
100%.
Poke has laid.
Yes, she has. You found one.
A single egg.
Single little caved in infertile egg.
Infertile egg. Yeah. So, but it's super important and you have to realize that you're signing up for that because the amount of stress that you have to go through as your female's getting ready to lay eggs.
It, like specifically with Poke, whenever I build her enclosures, I always make sure it's a deeper substrate layer.
So she has, able to lay them. So. And if your care's not correct or your female's just not unable to lay her eggs, you're running into territory of becoming egg bound.
Yeah.
Which in my opinion is one of probably the most preventable causes of death because typically, and there's always, you know, exceptions to this, typically it's the result of improper care or not having a laying bin or not even know you have a female and then you're like, SOS, what's going on?
What
and then
do?
It's like, oh, actually she's a girl and she's getting ready to lay eggs and she's got metabolic bone disease and it just.
AKA you're in trouble.
Does not usually end well, unfortunately. Yeah.
But that's just an important thing to know when you're looking into like buying reptiles, you know, make sure that, you know, whatever species you're looking into getting, make sure, you know, is it one that lays infertile eggs? Because if so, that also can impact their lifespan because of said health concerns.
And what can you do with their care? And I'm thinking, Camila, is why I'm saying this, that can decrease how often they lay. I know people who have female chameleons who have gone 2 years without laying a clutch. And they're like, is something wrong? Why isn't she laying? And like, walk me through your care. And their care is so on point, so tailored for a female specifically that they're able to kind of, I'm going to use the word manipulate, but I don't mean it any type of way. But basically, like, make sure that her body is not
the laying schedule.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So by having slightly lower basking temperatures and by feeding them less often, so not overfeeding them or keeping them too warm, those two factors alone can decrease how often they lay and how many eggs they're laying.
I knew the how many eggs they're laying, but I didn't know the time difference.
So people
That's
who
so
are
interesting.
Unintentionally overfeeding or too warm temperatures, their females can lay as often as once a month. You know, 30
That's a
plus
nightmare. Oh my gosh,
eggs.
You could not pay me to go through like, oh, it's so stressful when they do.
And their little bodies, they have to dig, they have to produce all those eggs and then lay them. And then females don't end up living as long as the males because they're going through this egg laying process so often.
So again, something to just be aware of when you're deciding if you want a male or female. Females can unfortunately live less long because they have more health risks.
Yeah. And there can be nuances to their care being slightly different. And
like typically tell new keepers, don't get a female, you know, most of the time, whether it be for size or egg laying. Like if you're new to the hobby and if you've never kept a reptile before, you know, it's that you're going to be in for a shock.
It's a lot, but I don't want to scare anyone off from getting
a female.
Because I think if you're educated, if you're aware, if you know what you need to do, can learn the signs of, you know, when a chameleon becomes receptive, gravid, whatever, then I think you can successfully keep them. And there's a lot of pros to females. Like one we wanted to talk about was temperament. And
That's my favorite one about the girlies.
And I think historically, like what I know of my own reptiles and from hearing from other people is the males tend to be a little feistier than the females. Yes. And when you think about it, it makes sense because they're protecting their territory. They're potentially
I also find it's usually slightly aggressive mating behavior in the males too. Like that can be a very big thing.
Or they
thing.
Have to like, you know, fight off males that are potential threat. Not that they are coming across males, but like it's in their DNA to be like,
I'm having a little bit of a Barney flashback and it wasn't an aggressive behavior thing. It was actually a really cute thing, but he was always sexually attracted to screens.
His little head bobbing.
He would, if I, you know, I would have him on my shoulder, you know, on me holding him and I'd be on my phone, you know, scrolling or whatever, or I'd be watching TV or even on my work computer. I would often have him sitting in a little tree next to my desk. And when he would catch like a glimpse of the screen, he would head bob. which is a
is it mating when the screen behavior. Was on, or mm-hmm. even if the screen was off?
Only when it was on.
Okay.
So it was
okay.
It was like the colors of the screen. Yeah. He got confused. He was just a little confused.
But he would head bob. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. So I think the males. And now there are always exceptions, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
There are plenty of males who are total
chill,
sweetie hearts, yeah. like whatever. And then there's plenty of females who want to bite your hand off mm-hmm. and say, "Get away from me." Venus is one of those, which is fine.
She hates the dudes.
Fun. Well, even me, right? She's yeah. just like a very defensive, mm-hmm. very scared chameleon. She's like, no one come near me. And that's fine. But from what I've heard, after they lay their first clutch, then they their temperaments out. Will like kind of mellow.
Interesting.
Fingers crossed. Because she's showing signs of being gravid right now. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping, and this will be an infertile clutch, but yeah. I'm hoping that like when she lays those, then
she'll be a little better.
Hopefully. Yeah. But yeah, what has been your experience? Because you have a variety of males yeah. and females. Do you see any trends?
Absolutely. And it's very, very similar to what you were saying. Like, for example, my male New Caledonian geckos have always been insane.
Monkey. Cough, and, cough.
Honestly, though, Scooby, as he's gotten older, too, has been a little wildling. So that's definitely
and then you have
a big
Poke.
One.
Who's just a happy little
she's
gecko?
She's just a little potato. Chilling. She's yeah. just a little potato. She just sits. She barely moves. She moves from her hide to one branch and back into her hide during the daytime. She's
a,
so chill.
A lady of routine.
Yes.
Yep.
She is. And so that tends to be my experience, is that the males tend to just be a little crazier.
Now, you do have one female snake, mm-hmm. two male snakes. Hazel can be a little feisty.
Which is funny. When it comes to snakes, Hazel is the one that's a little bit more. It's not that she's feisty. She's funny because it's just the fact that she doesn't trust me. It's very like she's just a little
like
skittish.
Weary, kind
she's of? She's very weary. It's, I can tell it's not that she's just like hyper defensive. She just is always side-eyeing me. Like, always side-eyeing
me. That's such an accurate way of describing her.
Isn't it? She's
it totally
just so...
is. She just, I just feel like she's judging me.
100%.
Like my deepest, darkest secret. She knows all of them and she's judging me.
That's exactly the look that she gives you. Yeah. She is my like skittish snake. And that is why I'm very choice-based handling with her. I pretty much don't handle her unless I have to or, you know, unless she wants to come out. But, and then Tarzan's a total sweetie. Always has been. And Taz is just a spaz.
He's a corn snake.
That's a colubrids for you. But yeah, I mean, so I would say it kind of varies with snakes for me. My female has been, you know, a little iffier, and then the males have been more chill. But with the geckos, it's the opposite. So who knows?
Yeah.
And Voldy being a male, Voldy's crazy.
And it totally depends on the individual. Mm-hmm. But if you keep enough animals, you know enough about the species, yeah. you can typically see mm-hmm. trends. But I would never encourage someone to get a like a male or a female just based off of temperament,
no.
trends alone, yeah. because then you're going to end up with the crazy one. Yeah. And I'm going to say, I told you so, because it just is a total crapshoot.
Totally.
Same with like species, like, oh, this species is more chill. And then you end up with the crazy one and it's just how it goes.
This is a minor vent. There, the one thing, the one comment that I think drives me the most that I get sometimes is people asking for like reference or recommendations for what kind of snakes to get.
Yeah.
And I always get the question of what kind of snake like never bites. And I'm like, none.
Don't get a snake.
Like, don't get a snake if you don't want one that might bite you.
I think it's for all reptiles though.
Right. It's yeah. like, so it's, it, you never know. Like you can, the species, you know, doesn't matter because, you know, people always like, for example, yellow anacondas are supposed to be super feisty, but mine's an angel. So, you know,
yeah.
it varies with the temperament. So
we would be silly not to at least reference it.
Yes.
When we're talking about males versus females, because there are differences. And so it's worth mentioning.
Absolutely. And obviously yeah. the hormones play a role in that.
Yeah.
So.
If you're looking for a new enclosure for one of your critters, be sure to check out the ones from Zen Habitats. Every enclosure is customizable, allowing you to mimic nature and provide the various UVB and heat gradients required for your species, which means they'll work great for both tropical and arid environments.
One of our very favorite things is how easy Zen makes it to stack multiple enclosures with their stacking spacers, and their extension kits allow you to be even more efficient with your space. All of their enclosures, stands, and spacers come with a 5-year warranty and free shipping on all their orders. Check out zenhabitats.com for your next enclosure. Need crickets delivered to your doorstep for all of your hungry reptile and amphibian friends? Josh's Frogs has got you covered. We've mentioned so many times on the pod how convenient, well-priced, and healthy it is to buy your bugs online.
Josh's Frogs now offers auto delivery for your commonly ordered items. You choose the products, frequency, and preferred delivery day. They take care of the rest.
They offer a range of feeder cricket sizes to fit your pet's needs, all the way from pinheads up to 1 inch.
Head on over to joshsfrogs.com and use coupon code THEWILDTYPE10 to save 10% on your next order of live crickets. April showers bring Pangea sales. They're coming out strong with a 20% off sale on egg organizers and hatch combo for any of our breeder listeners.
And if you're in the market for new branches, they'll be 15% off. This includes Manzanita, Grapevine, Ghostwood, and Junglewood.
Looking for a new mister? They'll be doing a 15% off sale for Pangea hand misters and Exoterra pump misters.
And last but not least, at the very end of April, you get a free sleeve of small bio cups with a purchase of $75 or more. Check out PangeaReptile.com.
So the other one we wanted to mention was lifespan. So yeah. We briefly touched on how female chameleons will typically have shorter lifespans than the males. What has been your experience with other species?
That is also very true. Specifically, my brain is going to New Caledonian geckos and leopard geckos and African fat-tail geckos. So those three species in particular, the females do tend to have slightly lower lifespans.
Do you think just that's also the egg laying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But with snakes, I don't think it makes a difference. I haven't seen or heard much. And I think it's because snakes don't often lay infertile eggs.
Yeah.
But it's rare.
I'd be curious if a breeder female would have a shorter lifespan than a non-breeder female.
That's a great question.
Right? Because if the demand of laying those eggs, makes a difference.
And with snakes too, they're not all eggs. So a lot of snakes are live bearers too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, just the reproduction.
Process is a little bit trying on us ladies.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. So I'd be curious to see if breeder females end up having shorter lifespans.
Yeah.
My gut says yes, but I'd like to hear directly from a breeder what their
I would love to hear that too, because I obviously wouldn't know.
Yeah.
So that's where our expertise stops.
And we're done. That's as far as we
go on those combos. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to mention with?
Not on the males and females.
Males or females?
I feel good about everything we just covered.
Yeah. I've kept both males and females. Mm-hmm. And so it's been interesting to see the differences, especially for same species. Right?
Totally.
To have one male Ambulobe panther, one female Ambulobe panther, like same locale, same species, and see their... Yeah. See their differences.
So interesting.
Yeah. But let us know your thoughts of your kind of...
If there's anything we missed, because there are plenty of differences. So if there are other differences that you guys know of, let us know.
Let us know. Or do you prefer to keep males?
Which do you
females?
Prefer?
Do you like the egg laying process?
Some people love that.
The colorful colors, duller colors.
Yeah. Because
I've
met people that have, big preferences for, female panthers over males and things like that. So
totally.
It varies, but so I think the next thing we had a question.
Q&A.
And this one is from Habitual Homebody. Mm-hmm. I don't even have to look at my notes because you comment all the time. So thank you.
Thank you for all your support.
Thank you. We appreciate you. And so they specifically asked us, which I love this. This is a little bit of like a behind the scenes of the pod question. So they asked us who edits the videos and who edits the episodes, which I think the distinction there is like audio, video. But then we also have who does the social clips and that stuff.
Yes. So this is actually a question I got on my Neptune the Chameleon Q&A. Yeah. And so I thought it'd be fun to answer it real time on the podcast. So.
And again, this listener is always commenting, so we appreciate you.
Plus, I'm sure some of the other listeners are curious.
We've had a couple questions about it. So.
Yeah. So this is how we divvy up the work. Because if one person tried to run this entire podcast,
no, thank you.
You'd explode after two episodes. So what usually happens is I will edit the long form. So we're talking the entire episode, the intro, outro. Mm-hmm. Like I'm the one who edits the ads, so we'll film them together, but then I'll be the one who puts them all together and then puts them into the episodes.
Takes the graphic, pairs it with the audio, yada yada.
Yes, and then I'm the one who does the thumbnails, timestamps, titles, descriptions.
Let's be honest, you're the YouTube queen.
I do all the YouTube stuff and then everything that goes on Spotify, Apple, all that. I'm the one who does all that. Then I take it all bundled up and then I give it to you.
I get a pretty little package and then I slice it all up into clips. So I take, you know, the full episode, you know, 4K and all of that. And then I put it all into my nice little editing software and I chop up all the different clips for social. Yep. And then I also handle the scheduling and posting of all the content. Yes.
And you'll put the captions on there mm-hmm. and like stack them and then like,
yeah,
make them all I make easy it all, to consume.
I make it all cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then things we do together is we'll do the like trendy videos. Mm-hmm. We usually like we'll send each other
stuff different ideas. Like, oh,
we should do this for a podcast. And then
usually we'll do it right after filming. So we'll pick like, you know, once a week or every couple of weeks and batch create some of those.
And we change outfits.
Yes.
In between.
Yes. We've different got a stack of my clothing over there.
And then we'll both take turns responding to DMs or comments. Yes. It's kind of like whoever sees them mm-hmm. first. But I would say you probably respond to vast majority of the
I try to just because I'm usually the one doing the posting. So I usually see them, you know, first. But sometimes you catch some stuff before I do.
Yeah.
So it just depends. But I will say when it comes to like comments and DMs in particular, if anybody's ever asking anything that's like really specific, for example, obviously something that's like not chameleons that you may or may not have the answer to, like we'll usually just like message each other.
Hey, there's this comment.
Yeah.
You should respond to it. Or like, hey, this one's for you. Or sometimes we'll get comments and we'll like basically say like, hey, this is Neptune or hey, this is Lissa. Mm-hmm. So then like, cause we'll be sharing a specific mm-hmm. example or personal experience or something. So we want them to know like if it's coming
comment,
from us.
If the comment or question like requires something that only one of us knows, we're usually going to be like, hey, Lissa here.
So it's me.
It's me, Mario. Yeah. So we'll sometimes, you know, drop in there exactly who's responding just because like, if there's something that's like super chameleon specific, I don't want people to think it's me answering and like, you know.
But we have a pretty good split. So you do mostly the social stuff. Mm-hmm. I do mostly the like actual editing of mm-hmm. the episodes mm-hmm. and then we go back and forth on like posting stories or comments or DMs or.
Yeah. Specifically, kind of the stories can definitely be from either of us.
Yeah.
It's hit or miss. It's just like whichever one. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever's got an extra couple minutes that day.
Truly.
Like, well, we haven't posted.
And there are like, days. And there are some days too. Like, for example, if I have like a really insane week or something, or if you have a really insane week, like sometimes I'll just like send you clips. Like, I know there was a weekend recently that like I was out of town and I was like, here are all the clips.
Yeah,
post whenever. Yeah, do whatever you want.
So then I just ran the socials, but that's because we both have our own lives. Accounts and stuff. Well, I was gonna say accounts that we both have experience like doing mm-hmm. all that. It's not like you don't know how or I don't know. Like we can both just like. Yeah.
And I think if worst came to worst, I would be able to edit the podcast.
I would love to see you in Premiere Pro trying to figure out.
I've played with Premiere Pro before. Okay. I've played with it a little.
No, you could hold your own. Yeah. Especially, I basically have like a template now mm-hmm. that I work in. So I have full confidence that if I sent you that, then
it would just probably be a little bit less smooth.
It'd probably also take you a bit longer.
Twice as long, for sure. Learning curve.
No, but before we even started the podcast, this is something that we kind of talked about, like, what things do you want to do and mm-hmm. what things do you not want to do? Mm-hmm. And you were like, I do not want to edit the full episodes.
I was like, I can't. I'll lose my mind. I hate long form content. And it's like, I don't post on YouTube.
I was like, look, I've been doing YouTube for many years now. Editing a podcast is way easier than
truly
doing like a YouTube video. It's got mm-hmm. like tons of clips in it and whatever. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll do this. You take socials. Mm-hmm. We'll meet in the middle for the other stuff.
It's honestly, it's been kind of a perfect split. Honestly, it's been great. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So there you guys go. A little behind the scenes on
pulling back the curtain. Just
how
a little.
We do the. Yeah. All the editing mm-hmm. and everything.
And then
we
like to take turns doing our little intro, go back mm-hmm. and forth, kind of leading things.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys
things.
Noticed that, but like we'll switch every other episode where mm-hmm. like I'll take the lead kind of.
Welcome to the Wild Type Podcast. I'm Lissa Slizzards. Or when you do it.
And then when I say
go back and forth and we kind of try to split it up a little, you know, but overall.
Yeah, I think it's fun. Keeps us on our toes.
Yeah, that's our little process.
So you're leading this episode. So what's next?
Well, I have to ask you that question.
It's funny. I already knew what was coming, but
because this is a pretty big one. You got mm-hmm. some news for us?
So literally yesterday, which is going to have been a couple weeks by the time this episode comes out. So apologies. This is going to seem like old news, but I did want to talk about it. So I have a foster chameleon.
We're fostering. You're fostering. But I'm, I feel.
You can say we. It's fine.
I feel like I get to join them.
You're
on
like
this
the fun
too.
Auntie.
I'm the funny aunt. I'll come by and feed him. I'm yeah, at you least just bring gonna the, check on him.
Bring some hornworms, yes. Right? That's like, yes. I feel like the reptile auntie equivalent of like a human auntie bringing like
bring hornworms.
Candy for the kids, yes. You know?
I bring treats.
Yeah. Just bring some hornworms. He'll love you. So his name is Sox, and he's through.
So cute. I could cry.
He's a pied veil chameleon. So the Sox is kind of cute because he's got white and pink patches on him. And so he's from a reptile rescue that was actually at a table that we were at an event. Mm-hmm. And we were just chatting them. And I was like really thinking about it. I was like, I've got the space. I've got the time. I've got the knowledge. I've got the resources. There's literally no reason. Like, in the knowledge, right, that I can't be fostering a chameleon. And I told him, I was like, young, old, MBD, healthy, whatever, like, any species, send in my way. I'm happy to do it. I was like, I can only do chameleons, and I can only do one at a time.
Yeah.
Those are my only...
Only restrictions.
My only two things. I'm like, thank you so much. Like, we don't have a lot of people who can take in chameleons. And so this is fostering them in the hopes that you'll take care of them until they can be adopted and find their forever home. And I was like, cool, cool, cool. Here's my information. Mm-hmm. And they're like, it's such a bummer because like we have.
Because I was here for this part of the conversation.
Yeah.
So I left the event a little bit early. And so I got a text later. So continue.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, it's such a bummer because we have this veiled and socks. And they're like, but we already have a foster lined up. And I was like, oh, okay, well, like hit me up for the next one.
Yeah.
So you end up leaving. I end up sticking around at the event for like a couple hours extra, and then I'm literally in the parking lot like leaving, and I hear across the parking lot like, hey, chameleon lady. And of course I'm like, who, me?
That's incredible. First off, I love
like,
that.
Oh. And they're like, do you want, this is across the parking lot, do you want to take that chameleon home? And I was like, sure. So then I walk over, find out that the foster that was supposed to come never showed.
Oh.
So then the chameleon would have gone to like one of the like club members
rescue
or
people. Yeah.
Yeah. Who's been like kind of temporarily watching him. And I was like, sure. They're like, do you have a transportation like device, like container for him? I'm like,
not really.
No.
I wasn't expecting to leave here with a chameleon.
No, but I do have a temp enclosure in like, I've got extra UVB, heat bulb, whatever. I was like, I can whip up an enclosure for him in like 5 minutes. Like, not a big deal.
Easy. One of the perks of being in the reptile keeping experience for
you unfortunately, fortunately accumulate an extra supplies
One of the reasons we were talking to them in the first place. Cause we were like, hi, guess what? We have tons of extra
just
reptile
extra supplies. Yeah.
And like some of the extras I want to hold on to for when I need them, but I have so many extra things I could just donate.
Yeah.
So like that's something we'll be doing as well. But
yeah. So they had me sign just a little piece of paper, you know, just being like, hey,
I'll
take care responsible for this. Here's my number. They said most fosters are for about 3 months before they're able to find them new homes.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful I'll be able to find him a home a little bit sooner with like my platform. The only thing is it has to be a local pickup. So they're not going to be like shipping him cross country.
He's
so
literally so cute, you guys. So
he's itty bitty.
So I left this event thinking that we were not going home with any animals. And then all of a sudden, I get a photo of Mr. Sox. And the background in the photo was
my
reptile room wall. And I was like, excuse me.
Yeah.
What happened?
So I took him and I was like, cool. I've never actually cared for a veiled chameleon. I've mentored thousands of people on veiled chameleon. So I'm like, I have no hesitations or whatever with him. He already gobbled up 10 Nubia roaches. Aww. I had to pick up some smaller ones because I only have adults right now. So I only have larges, which would have been too big for his little head. So he already gobbled those up, which is very surprising because he's in a brand new enclosure. And typically it takes him a little time to get
settled in. Well, and he was like at that event yesterday too. So like homeboy was probably a little stressed.
I took him out of the enclosure and the lady who had been watching him was like, oh, he's defensive. Da, da, da. And I was like, all right. Like I've seen the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
And like he came out no problem. I was like, cool.
Sweet.
So, and just the backstory on how Sox,
I don't even know this.
Yeah. So this is, then this is through the grapevine, right? This is what the rescue said he found out from whoever. Right. So
allegedly.
Yeah. Take it with a grain of salt. But I guess he was a Christmas purchase for a 7-year-old boy. And the mom decided that they didn't want him anymore for X and Y reasons. But they had tried to sell him on like Facebook Marketplace for like $300 or $400. Yeah, I know. She's making a face. If you're listening, she's making a face.
Because I'm shook. Like, yeah. Let's be real. Veiled chameleons don't go for $300 or $400.
Yeah. And I guess he was like in kind of like the kit set up initially and like the whole shebang. So they weren't getting any bites and they had him up for like a month and like no one was saying that they were wanting him or willing to pay that. So they're like, we just don't want him anymore. So then that's when they surrendered him over to the rescue.
That's so sad.
And I think the rescue's had him for like 3-4 weeks or something at this point. So
I hate that. And now
I'm taking care of.
At least he ended up in the right hands.
Yeah.
Totally in the right hands.
I'm so excited for this though. And
it's such like a moment in your journey as like you're now in the foster world.
Mm-hmm. To feel like I'm in a place both like financially, emotionally, like
mentally
and experience wise that like if they had a chameleon that comes in with metabolic bone disease, which realistically speaking is a possibility with just you know, chameleons and stuff like that, I feel confident that I'd be able to care for them. Or if they had like thermal burns or they were an elderly chameleon or a baby chameleon, like I feel like I could handle
easily
just about any situation. And so for me to be able to like make sure that they're taken care of before being able to find them their really forever homes. Yeah. Or if I can leverage my platform to be able to find them.
Help find more adopters. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really, really special. And so I'm very excited.
It's so cute. It just makes me really happy.
So I hope Sox is the first of many down the line of like chameleons I can potentially take in and foster. But if Sox is my only one, then like so be it. A lot of people have been commenting like, oh, you're gonna keep him, and I'm like, no,
I will not.
No. Yeah. He's a cutie though.
He's so cute.
Yeah,
he's so cute.
And he seems to be in really good body condition. I just noticed
he didn't look horrible
at the
by
end
any
of
means.
His tail is this little divot, what looks like a piece of shed probably got stuck on there and like constricted a little bit, or maybe like closed in a door or something.
I mean, with a 7-year-old kid, who knows?
It just is very, very, very minor. And I don't think unless you like have a trained eye and you're looking for it.
You won't abnormal. Even see it.
Yeah, I don't think you would even notice it. So if by the time this episode comes out and Sox is still available, hit me up if you're interested in adopting him. But
he's so cute. I'm so excited for you. It's so fun.
Yeah. And so I know you had mentioned potentially wanting to foster or work with rescues in the future.
This is the same thing that I told the rescue people that we spoke to. I would love to do that. Literally would love that. Nothing would bring me more joy and happiness than doing that. Especially after, I know it's not the same thing, but having gone through rescuing our dog and everything that we went through with that, like I have a little bit of a heart for it.
Yeah.
And so I would love to do that, but I am not in a place. I am still recovering from my wedding year. So like and I mean that mentally, emotionally,
financially,
physically, everything. And specifically when it comes to like the reptile side of my life and all of that, like I am still in the process of so many enclosures. That's been a slower progress than I would like to admit. I've still got so many more enclosures I need to upgrade. I need to improve. So I am not at a place where I am 110% happy with my current pets' care and their environments. So I'm going to focus on fixing and improving all of that before I go into the foster world.
Which was what you should do, right?
Absolutely. Like, and so in an ideal world, maybe this time next year, once all my animals have been upgraded, everybody's enclosures are perfection, and I'm super happy and content with everything, then I would definitely look into it. I don't think I would ever want to foster or be able to foster more than one or two at a time, just because I obviously can't keep them in the reptile room if I'm fostering.
But yeah, I think fostering geckos would be like right up your alley.
Honestly, I think that's what I told the rescue lady. I specifically was like, leopard geckos, African fat tail geckos, crusties, anything along those lines, like I would love to foster.
Yeah. I could see you potentially fostering snakes, but I know like geckos are more, especially with fosters, like cause you just don't know their history or feeding response or like.
I would definitely for example, like I have no interest in owning a ball python at this point, and we've talked about that, but I would definitely have an interest in taking in a rescue ball python. Mm-hmm. I would love to do that. And when you're thinking rescues and fosters, you really have to think about like what are the most common reptiles that are being given up.
Yep.
And those
are veiled chameleons,
bearded dragons, I would also consider fostering a beardie.
Oh, yes, you did say that when we were there.
And again, that's a species I have literally no interest in keeping as a pet, but I would love to foster a little beardy.
Yeah, but that's short term, right? Yeah. Like, that's not... Yeah,
so short term, I mean, honestly, I'd be open to almost anything.
So yeah.
I would definitely wouldn't want to do a chameleon just because that's more your forte, but...
Give me the chameleon. Yeah. Yeah, so very excited for this new adventure. It was very interesting for me because I'm not one for like spontaneous.
You are not. That is why I was so freaking shocked when I saw that text message.
But I felt so comfortable and so confident that it was like a no-brainer. Like, oh, taking a veil chameleon, like...
I've got an enclosure.
No sweat off my back.
I've got an enclosure. I have UVB. I have branches. I have fake plants.
I've got bugs. Like, I'm...
You're good to go.
I'm solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just like a, like, sure. Like, right. No biggie.
It's funny. Obviously, I'm a little bit more impulsive than you. We know this. But I would be very wary of, like, spontaneously taking in an animal in that way. Because that's, you know, you don't know what you're bringing into your home at that point. So that is a risk. But... I would feel the exact same way that you did if it were like a leopard gecko that needed specifically for my very first foster. If it had been a leopard gecko or something like that, I would have just been like, oh yeah, I can set up a temp enclosure in 5 minutes. Let's go.
No problem. Yeah.
I got all the heat supplies. I got everything. We're good to go.
So it feels good to like be, you know, kind of like helping out the community and, you know, hopefully Socks can find an amazing home. But
I know.
Yeah, I'm stay so tuned. It's we'll give so you guys fun. A update if and when he, you know, gets adopted and whatever else. So
such a fun little update. I love that. Well, let us know if you guys do rescue, if you're interested in rescue. We'd love to hear from you guys. But other than that, did we cover everything for the day?
Wrap it up. Yeah, I think this is a good episode. Right,
yeah, I think so too. So we're going to end it there, but give us a follow on all the socials.
Yep.
Send us voice memos. You know we love those.
You plug the voice memos.
Because I love them. I just get so hyped every time.
No, I think it's great.
They're my favorite. So, you know, give us a follow on all the things. Subscribe to YouTube.
The whole shebang.
Yeah. Yep. But other than that, we appreciate you guys.
Yeah, have a good day, guys.
Thanks for being here.
Bye.